E-tidings, Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tá míle fáilte roimh anseo. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. Saw a local bus carrying local people to and from local places. And I thought, local minds carrying local minds to local places and back again. My mind delights in using transglobal, transsolar, and transgalactic means of transportation. In a vision of the day, saw a white horse grazing contentedly away in a green field near an ancient round tower. Perhaps, I thought, there are ideas of mine that are contentedly grazing away in the vicinity of ancient thoughts of mine. Would, though, that they would raise their heads from time to time to give them a courteous bow. In today's broadcast, I will be reading some more from Shakespeare, Lucretius, and Chuang Tzu. A reading from A Midsummer Night's Dream. Welcome, good Robin. Seest thou this sweet sight? Her dotage now I begin to pity, for meeting her of late behind the wood, seeking sweet favours from this hateful fool. I did upbraid her, and fall out with her. For she his hairy temples then had rounded with a coronet of fresh and fragrant flowers. And that same dew, which sometime on the buds was wont to swell like round and orient pearls, stood now within the pretty floweret's eyes, like tears that did their own disgrace bewail. When I had at my pleasure taunted her, and she in mild terms begged my patience, I then did ask of her her changeling child, which straight she gave me, and her fairy sent to bear him to my bower in fairy land. And now I have the boy, I will undo this hateful imperfection of her eyes. And gentle Puck, take this transformed scalp from off the head of this Athenian swain, that he awaking when the other do, may all to Athens back again repair, and think no more of this night's accidents, but as the fierce vexation of a dream. But first I will release the fairy queen. Be as thou wast wont to be, see as thou wast wont to see. Dian's bud or Cupid's flower hath such force and blessed power. Now, my Titania, wake you, my sweet queen. My Oberon, what visions have I seen? Methought I was enamoured of an ass. There lies your love. How came these things to pass? Oh, how mine eyes do loathe his visage now. Silence a while. Robin, take off this head. Titania, music call, and strike more dead than common sleep of all these five the sense. Music, oh, music, such as charmeth sleep. Now when thou wakest, with thine own fool's eyes peep. Sound music, come, my queen. Take hands with me, and rock the ground whereon these sleepers be. Now thou and I are new in amity, and will to-morrow midnight solemnly dance in Duke Theseus's house triumphantly. And blessed to all fair prosperity, there shall the pairs of faithful lovers be wedded, with Theseus all in jollity. Fairy king, attend and mark, I do hear the morning lark. Then, my queen, in silence said, trip we after the night's shade. We the globe can compass soon, swifter than the wandering moon. Come, my lord, and in our flight, tell me how it came this night that I, sleeping here, was found with these mortals on the ground. A reading in continuity from the 1st century BC poem On the Nature of Things by the Roman poet and philosopher Titus Lucretius Carus. I fear, perhaps, thou deemest that we fare an impious road to realms of thought profane. But 'tis that same religion, often or far, had bred the foul impieties of men, as once at Aulis. The elected chiefs, foremost of heroes, Danaan counsellors, defiled Diana's altar, virgin queen, with Agamemnon's daughter, folly slain. She felt the chaplet round her maiden locks and fillets fluttering down on either cheek, and at the altar marked her grieving sire, the priest beside him who concealed the knife, and all the folks in tears at sight of her. With a dumb terror and a sinking knee she dropped. Nor might avail her now that first 'twas she who gave the king a father's name. They raised her up, they bore the trembling girl unto the altar, hither led not now with solemn rites and hymeneal choir, but sinless woman, sinfully foredone. A parent felled her on her bridal day, making his child a sacrificial beast, to give the ship's auspicious winds for Troy. Such are the crimes to which religion leads. And there shall come the time when even thou, forced by the soothsayer's terror tales, shall seek to break from us. Ah, many a dream even now can they concoct to rout thy plans of life and trouble all thy fortunes with base fears. I owned with reason, for if men but knew some fixed end to ills, they would be strong by some device unconquered to withstand religions and the menacings of seers. But now nor skill nor instrument is theirs, since men must dread eternal pains and death. For what the soul may be, they do not know, whether 'tis born or enter in at birth, and whether snatched by death it die with us, or visit the shadows and the vast decays of Orcus, or by some divine decree enter the brute herds, as our Aeneas sang, who first from lovely Helicon brought down a laurel reed of bright perennial leaves, renowned forever among the Italian clans. Yet Aeneas too, in everlasting verse, proclaims those vaults of Acheron to be, though thence, he said, nor souls nor bodies fare, but only phantom figures strangely won, and tells how once from out these regions rose old Homer's ghosts to him and shed salt tears, and with his words unfolded nature's source. Then be it ours with steady mind to clasp the purport of the skies, the law behind the wandering courses of the sun and moon, to scan the powers that speed all life below, but most to see with reasonable eyes of what the mind, of what the soul is made, and what it is so terrible that breaks us asleep, or waking in disease, until we seem to mark and hear at hand dead men whose bones earth bosomed long ago. An interpretation after my own fashioning of some lines from The True Classic of Southern Taoist Fragrance. The North Tree Star visitor spoke to me, saying, human, you have been living now on this planet as a human since you were conceived in a human womb. How has it been? It is an interesting place. It is interesting being a human. Do I think it might also be interesting to be a dolphin or a butterfly or a fern? The weather on the planet can be a challenge to deal with at times, but what I miss most about home is not being able to think without limits. I find being a human very restrictive, from the shape of the body to the usage of the mind. For some reason, which I haven't been able to figure out yet, humans are only allowed or are only allowing themselves to use about 2% of their minds. It is quite unbelievable. I have tried many times to use my mind beyond this limitation, but there is always something that tends to prevent it, and what that something is, I have no idea. This is truly difficult to deal with. These humans only think about things near to them. Anything beyond the planet, they merely speculate or conjecture about it. They are really afraid of thinking big. They are always inclined to be thinking in terms of, in the future, humankind will be able to travel to the local planets and even to live on them. Any place beyond their solar system is to them just wishful thinking. But they don't realize it, that they all have already come from faraway places in the cosmos. Their ancestors were visitors from other regions of the galaxy, and have been coming and going to numerous places ever since, not alone in this galaxy, but way beyond it. They are convinced, or have convinced themselves, for some unknown reason, they are alone in the cosmos. It is one of the many ridiculous ideas they have. So while I am, to some extent, happy sojourning here, I find it at times extremely frustrating. Human, have you examples of how they think? The best of them in thought would claim that though the whole world should praise them, they would not for that stimulate themselves to greater endeavors, and though the whole world should condemn them, they would not exercise any more repression of their way. So fixed are they in the difference between the internal judgment of themselves and the external judgment of themselves by others. So distinctly have they marked out the boundaries of glory and disgrace. Here, however, they stop. Their place in the world indeed becomes indifferent to them, but still they have not managed to plant themselves firmly in a right position, a position of limitless thought. Or again, there are those who for short spells bravely attempt to ride on the winds of great thought, and pursue their way in life with an admirable indifference to the opinions of others. They are wonderful for the duration. But then when they return to the worlds of small thoughts, they are indistinguishable from those around them. Truly pitiful. I often think to myself, I need to mount on the blueness of the sky of day and the starry heavens of night, to float along with the ever-changing seasons, in one day to experience 3 to 5 to whatever number of seasons I would so wish. What then would I have to be waiting on? Who then would I have to be depending upon? Human, why do you keep on returning to this planet? I know I have been here numerous times in the last 50,000 or so years, and it was similar each time, in that I thought there would be an expansion in the use of the human mind. But the change has been ever so slight. I guess it is some kind of hope I have, because there is much I like too about being a human and living on this beautiful planet. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say. did lovingly relay way back in days of long gone by, for a future mortal of himself, when he did word. O mortal self of mine, when we're living in your own realm and time, you will be like a magnificent tree growing by a river, that brings forth its buds, its leaves, its blossoms, and its fruit in fullness of season. Everything you will do shall come to maturity. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for all your many blessings. And spare a thought too for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult, and not at all of their own making. You have been listening to Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday, and occasionally on the weekends. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.